Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to today's broadcast. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick and I'll be with you for the next half hour. Well, thanks so much for joining me once again. Thank you for your love and support. May you always experience the joy that comes from putting Christ at the centre of your lives. That was the Pope's final tweet in 9 different languages before leaving Vatican City by helicopter on February 28th at 5:15 p.m. Destination, the papal summer residence in Castel Gandolfo, south of Rome. He'll be there until he returns to the Vatican to take possession of a more permanent residence in the heart of the Vatican Gardens, a former monastery for cloistered nuns currently being renovated. And so it was that he ended his final day as successor of Peter, bidding farewell to the faithful gathered in the square outside the papal palace who were there to greet him. His final words were, "Thank you, good night." Grazie, buonanotte.
Grazie, buonanotte. Grazie a tutti.
It was 5:40 p.m. and he had already imparted his apostolic blessing.
Di tutto il cuore la mia benedizione. Si benedica Dio onnipotente, Padre e Figlio e Spirito Santo.
Moments earlier, he had shared his happiness to be with those present, surrounded by the beauty of creation, and by the sympathy expressed to him by the crowds, which he remarked, "Does me good." "Thank you," he went on to say, "for your friendship and affection. As you know, I am only Supreme Pontiff of the Catholic Church until 8 p.m, and then no longer."
"Non sono più Pontefice Sommo della Chiesa Cattolica fino alle 8 di sera, sono ancora poi non più."
Simply a pilgrim who begins the last leg of his pilgrimage on earth.
"Sono semplicemente un pellegrino che inizia l'ultima tappa del suo pellegrinaggio in questa terra."
"But with my heart, my love, my prayers, with all my interior strength, I will work for the common good and the good of the Church and all humanity. I feel greatly supported by your affection. Let us move forward together with the Lord."
"Andiamo avanti insieme col Signore per il bene della Chiesa e del mondo."
And so it is that now we are in sede vacante, Latin words to indicate an empty chair for the See of Peter. A time this for which Benedict XVI, now Pope Emeritus, laid out some new rules before resigning. He did so in a motu proprio dated February 22nd, the feast of the chair of St. Peter, a document released by the Vatican on February 25th, which adds some new rules for the conclaves, rules already established in John Paul II's apostolic constitution governing the election of popes by the title of Universi Dominici Gregis. Under the current rules, which remain in effect upon the vacancy of the papacy, cardinals in Rome must wait 15 full days for those who are absent before they can enter into a conclave and begin the process of electing a new pope. Yes, the Catholic Church no longer has a leader until the next one is elected as 265th successor of Peter. Benedict XVI, a familiar figure for us here in the Vatican, was pope for almost 8 years. He will go down in history as the first pope to have resigned in 600 years. Upon his election, Pope Benedict was the second non-Italian successor of Peter since the early 16th century. Pope Adrian VI was from Holland in the early 1500s, followed by nearly 500 years of Italian popes. And then, of course, John Paul II, now blessed, from Poland. That's what Jesuit historian Professor Norman Tanner told me when I asked him for a brief historical overview of the pontificate of Benedict XVI, former Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger. I began by asking Professor Tanner what the hallmark of this pontificate has been.
"The Pope's primary purpose is to be a guardian of faith, a guardian of the Christian tradition. So I think that preservation of all that Christ has given us is the preeminent and most important gift and contribution. So any kind of developments, emphases must be shown within that basic context of conservation. He's had a long life, both as a theologian and as head of the doctrinal commission here in the Vatican, so theology and to preserve the orthodoxy of the faith has been at the heart of his life right from the beginning.
If you had to write a paper about this pontificate, what would you highlight in particular?
The key thing is it's an office, and I would focus on Pope's preservation, respect for his office, and that he has done the best in his office. I would put personal considerations very much in second place.
Can you give me three adjectives as to how to describe him?
He's a man of prayer. He's a man of deep Christian life, a man who's open to every dimension of human existence, the intellectual, the personal, the humorous too.
And of course he's a writer as well, isn't he?
Yes, indeed. Well, that is an obligation of popes, and he's written three encyclicals, but he's also written his own works and contributed new ideas. That is slightly unusual for a pope to write in a private capacity.
If you had to find similarities with another recent pope, who would it be with?
Well, maybe with his predecessor of his same name, Benedict XV.
And you were listening there to Jesuit historian Professor Norman Tanner. Our thanks go to him. Now, the final appointment of Benedict XVI here in the Vatican was with his closest advisers, the cardinals, among whom, as he mentioned himself, there is also the future pope. Present were 144 cardinals, including many of the 115 under the age of 80 who were eligible and expected to vote in the upcoming conclave. Philippa Hitchin reports.
Among you, among the College of Cardinals, there is also the future Pope, to whom, here today, I already promise my unconditional reverence and obedience. Those were Pope Benedict's words on Thursday morning to his closest advisers, gathered in the Vatican's Clementine Hall for a final greeting, just hours ahead of his retirement and the end of this pontificate, at 8 p.m. Rome time. For his last meeting in the Vatican, the outgoing pontiff greeted 144 cardinals individually, together with the presidents and officials of the different Vatican offices. He also responded to a greeting from the dean of the College of Cardinals, Angelo Sodano, saying that together they have sought to serve Christ and his Church throughout this past pontificate. He urged them all to pray so that the College of Cardinals is like an orchestra, where diversity, as an expression of the universal Church, always contributes to a higher sense of harmony. The Church, Pope Benedict stressed, is a living body, as was so clearly seen through the crowds gathered in St. Peter's Square for the last Wednesday general audience. Through the Church, he said, the mystery of the Incarnation remains forever present. Christ continues to walk through all times and in all places.
Cristo continua a camminare attraverso i tempi e tutti i luoghi.
Before exchanging a few words with each man individually, the Pope said he would continue to be close to them all through prayer, especially in the coming days leading up to the election of the new Pope. Noting that the next leader of the Catholic Church would be among the men standing in front of him, Benedict pledged his unconditional reverence and obedience.
Prometto la mia incondizionata reverenza ed obbedienza.
As Father Federico Lombardi noted at a press briefing following the event, Benedict will be in Castel Gandolfo, so will not be part of the next papal election. Thus, these final words simply underline his attitude of complete service and obedience to God and to the 265th successor of St. Peter.
And our thanks there go to Philippa Hitchin for this report. His last great public appointment, however, in the Vatican was his customary Wednesday one. It took place in St. Peter's Square on the 27th of February, amid huge media interest, and above all, amid throngs of faithful gathered there to be with the 264th successor of Peter for the last time in history. Chris Altieri reports.
Estimates say that more than 150,000 people were on hand to bid the Holy Father farewell. The day was bright, and the sky was clear, and the air was approaching spring-like, warm in the sun, brisk in the shade. The sounds of myriad tongues could be heard throughout the swelling space.
What a tremendous pleasure for us, a joy. It'd been a very moving time for all of us.
It was important because it was the last audience of the Pope, and I really wanted to take part of this personally and to hear his message.
It's a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
I'm a Catholic. It's our duty, the love for the Pope, and it's the only way that we can show our gratitude to him.
I pray for him.
Gratitude. This was the theme of the Holy Father's remarks to the faithful.
Grazie di cuore. Sono veramente commosso. E vedo la Chiesa viva.
Gratitude to God in the first, then to the Pope's chief assistants, the cardinals, his closest collaborators in the Secretariat of State and the whole Roman Curia, and to all the faithful everywhere. In pastoral visits, in public encounters, at audiences, in traveling, said Pope Benedict, I have always received great care and deep affection. I loved each and every one without exception, with that pastoral charity which is the heart of every shepherd, especially the Bishop of Rome, the successor of the Apostle Peter. Every day I carried each of you in my prayers with a father's heart. Dear friends, he concluded, God guides his church, maintains her always, and especially in difficult times. Let us never lose this vision of faith, which is the only true vision of the way of the church and for the world. In our heart, in the heart of each of you, let there be always the joyous certainty that the Lord is near, that he does not abandon us, that he is near to us, and that he surrounds us with his love. Gratitude and steadfast faith in the God who has made us to himself were also the themes of Pope Benedict's remarks in English.
In union with Mary and all the saints, let us entrust ourselves in faith and hope to God, who continues to watch over our lives and to guide the journey of the Church and our world along the paths of history. I commend all of you with great affection to his loving care, asking him to strengthen you in the hope which opens our hearts to the fullness of life that he alone can give.
And while our thanks there go to Chris Altieri, I'd now like to step back in time to Pope Benedict's first public appointment, a moment Benedict XVI mentioned himself during that last meeting of his pontificate, when he said to the cardinals, quote, "Here, allow me to return once again to April the 19th, 2005. The gravity of the decision was precisely in the fact that from that moment on, I was committed always and forever by the Lord. Always, he who assumes the Petrine ministry no longer has any privacy. He belongs always and totally to everyone, to the whole church. His life, so to speak, totally deprived of the private sphere." The always, he went on to say, is also a forever. There is no returning to private life. My decision to forego the exercise of active ministry does not revoke this. I do not return to private life, to a life of travel, meetings, receptions, conferences, and so on. I do not abandon the cross, but remain in a new way near the crucified Lord. I no longer wield the power of the office for the government of the Church, but in the service of prayer I remain, so to speak, within St. Peter's bounds. St. Benedict, whose name I bear as Pope, shall be a great example in this for me. He showed us the way to a life which, active or passive, belongs wholly to the work of God." Unquote. But why don't I bring you the report I mentioned a moment ago? It was Sunday, 24th of April 2005, and Pope Benedict XVI was back in St. Peter's Square less than a week after appearing on the balcony of the Basilica on the day of his election as the 264th successor of Peter. It was a glorious spring day, and the newly elected Pope was about to celebrate the solemn liturgical rite of inauguration of his Petrine ministry. But he was not alone. The sacred college of cardinals to elect him to the papacy formed a crown around him, eager to present him to the universal church as chief shepherd.
Benedictor Romano Pontifici, Petri Successori.
And it was with them in procession to the sound of the singing of the Litany of Saints that Pope Benedict XVI first emerged from the door of St. Peter's Basilica. Wearing gold vestments, he made his way to the altar, removing the two-pointed mitre symbolising the Old and New Testaments, and putting down the pastoral staff he was carrying. St. Peter's Square echoed with the applause of the thousands of pilgrims gathered around him, waving their multicoloured banners. Applauding too were the world leaders and authorities present. Christians and non-Christians alike, all were eager to witness the rite in which the successor of Peter receives the two liturgical symbols of his Petrine ministry. The fisherman's ring, a gold signet ring depicting St. Peter in his fisherman's boat, and the pallium, symbolically laid out over the tomb of St. Peter overnight as a sign of the continuity of the papacy, a tomb visited privately by Benedict XVI in a sign of fidelity prior to processing towards the square for the inauguration mass of his Petrine ministry.
Petri successori, sum ministerium hodie inaugurandi.
The placing of the pallium on the Pope's shoulders represented the culminating moment of this inauguration. But what exactly is a pallium? Very simply, a modelled narrow stole of white wool made out of lambs and sheep wool, embroidered with five red silk crosses, symbolising the five wounds of Christ, held in place by three jewelled pins representing the three nails of Christ. A symbol dating back to early times and worn as a scarf, originally of much more ample proportions, and in the course of the centuries reduced in size to its present dimension, its significance, plenitude of episcopal jurisdiction. It was the proto-deacon, Cardinal Jorge Medina Esteves, who performed the ceremony of investiture, pronouncing these words in Latin.
Ipse tibi pallium donet, quod ab apostoli Petri confessione sum.
This gesture was followed by the placing of the fisherman's ring on the Pope's finger, a ring presented him by the Dean of the College of Cardinals, Angelo Sodano.
Ipse tibi donet annulum sigillum Petri Piscatoris.
It was followed by a break with tradition. The first pope of the third millennium did not wish for the entire college of cardinals to symbolically pledge fidelity and loyalty to him. Instead, for the first time in history, he asked 12 people to symbolically accomplish this gesture, the same number as the apostles. People from different corners of the earth, from Congo to Korea, representative of the universality of the Church. People from all walks of life, among them three cardinals, a bishop, a priest, a deacon, a Benedictine nun, and a married couple with their child. But the crowds were also eager to hear Pope Benedict XVI's first official words.
Chi crede non è mai solo.
Those who believe are never alone, neither in life nor in death, he said, speaking in Italian. The Church is young. She holds within herself the future of the world.
E la Chiesa è giovane.
Yes, the Church is alive.
This is the wonderful experience of these days. During those sad days of the Pope's illness and death, it became wonderfully evident to us that the Church is alive. With these words, I greet with great joy and gratitude all of you gathered here, my venerable brother, cardinals and bishops, my dear priests, deacons, church workers, catechists. I greet you, men and women religious, witnesses of the transfiguring presence of God. I greet you, members of the lay faithful, immersed in the great task of building up the kingdom of God, which spreads throughout the world in every area of life. With great affection, I also greet all those who have been reborn in the sacrament of baptism, but are not yet in full communion with us. And you, my brothers and sisters of the Jewish people, to whom we are joined by a great shared spiritual heritage, one rooted in God's irrevocable promises. Like a wave gathering force, my thoughts go out to all men and women of today, to believers and non-believers alike.
A tutti gli uomini del nostro tempo, credenti e non credenti.
And smiling broadly, he went on to say,
cari amici, in questo momento,
my real program of governance is not to do my own will, not to pursue my own ideas, but to listen, together with the whole Church, to the word and the will of the Lord, to be guided by Him, so that He Himself will lead the Church at this hour of our history. Instead of putting forward a program, I should simply like to comment on the two liturgical symbols which represent the inauguration of the Petrine ministry.
Di commentare i due segni con cui viene rappresentata liturgicamente
the lamb's wool is meant to represent the lost, sick, or weak sheep, which the shepherd places on his shoulders and carries to the waters of life. For the fathers of the Church, the parable of the lost sheep, which the shepherd seeks in the desert, was an image of the mystery of Christ and the Church. The human race, every one of us, is the sheep lost in the desert, which no longer knows the way. The Son of God will not let this happen. He can't abandon humanity in so wretched a condition. He leaps to his feet and abandons the glory of heaven in order to go in search of the sheep and pursue it all the way to the cross. He takes it upon his shoulders and carries our humanity. He carries us all. He is the Good Shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. What the pallium indicates, first and foremost, is that we are all carried by Christ, but at the same time it invites us to carry one another. Hence the pallium becomes a symbol of the shepherd's mission. The pastor must be inspired by Christ's holy zeal. For him it's not a matter of indifference that so many people are living in the desert, and there are so many kinds of desert. There's the desert of poverty, the desert of hunger and thirst, the desert of abandonment, of loneliness, of destroyed love. There's the desert of God's darkness, the emptiness of souls, no longer aware of their dignity or the goal of human life. The external deserts in the world are growing because the internal deserts have become so vast. Therefore, the earth's treasures no longer serve to build God's garden for all of us to live in, but they've been made to serve the powers of exploitation and destruction. The Church as a whole and all her pastors, like Christ, must set out to lead people out of the desert towards the place of life, towards friendship with the Son of God, towards the One who gives us life and life in abundance. How often we wish that God would show himself stronger, that he would strike decisively, defeating evil and creating a better world. All ideologies of power justify themselves in exactly this way. They justify the destruction of whatever would stand in the way of progress and the liberation of humanity. We suffer on account of God's patience, and yet we need his patience. God, who became a lamb, tells us that the world is saved by the crucified one, not by those who crucified him. The world is redeemed by the patience of God. It is destroyed by the impatience of man. One of the basic characteristics of a shepherd must be to love the people entrusted to him, even as he loves Christ, whom he serves. Feed my sheep, says Christ to Peter,
And now at this moment he says it to me as well. Feeding means loving, and loving also means being ready to suffer.
Che offre la sua vita per le pecore. Il palio dice innanzitutto.
My dear friends, at this moment I can only say, pray for me, that I may learn to love the Lord more and more. Pray for me that I may learn to love His flock more and more. In other words, you, the Holy Church, each one of you, and all of you together. Pray for me that I may not flee for fear of the wolves. Let us pray for one another, that the Lord will carry us, and that we will learn to carry one another.
But Pope Benedict XVI also spoke of the symbolism of the fisherman's ring. Quoting from the Gospel, he repeated those words that have become a hallmark of Pope John Paul II's pontificate. Do not be afraid.
Today, too, the Church and the successors of the Apostles are told to put out into the deep sea of history and to let down the nets so as to win men and women over to the Gospel, to God, to Christ, to true life. We are living in alienation, in the salt waters of suffering and death, in a sea of darkness without light. The net of the Gospel pulls us out of the waters of death and brings us into the splendor of God's light, into true life. It's really true. As we follow Christ in this mission to be fishers of men, we must bring men and women out of the sea that is salted with so many forms of alienation and onto the land of life, into the light of God. It's really so. The purpose of our lives is to reveal God to men. And only where God is seen does life truly begin. Only when we meet the living God in Christ do we know what life is. We're not some casual and meaningless product of evolution. Each of us is the result of a thought of God. Each of us is willed. Each of us is loved. Each of us is necessary.
È il successore degli apostoli di prendere il largo nel mare della storia.
There is nothing more beautiful than to be surprised by the Gospel. By the encounter with Christ, there is nothing more beautiful than to know Him and to speak to others of our friendship with Him. The task of the shepherd, the task of the fisher of men, can often seem wearisome, but it's beautiful and wonderful because it's truly a service to joy, to God's joy, which longs to break into the world.
Ciascuno di noi è frutto di un pensiero di Dio. Ciascuno di noi è voluto.
Another such Mass will be celebrated soon. That's after the cardinals gathered in conclave will have elected the 265th successor of Peter. Meanwhile, as I mentioned at the beginning of the broadcast, Sede Vacante here in the Vatican, as the cardinal electors who are not already here in Rome arrived ready to set up residence in time for the conclave at the Domus Sanctae Marte to the left of St. Peter's Basilica, rooms allotted by the luck of the draw for the 115 elector cardinals. Right now, as I leave you, there is no Pope. The Pope Emeritus, Benedict XVI, is, as I said, at his summer residence of Castel Gandolfo. His papal apartments have been sealed, and the Swiss guards have left office until a new Pope is elected. What there are, however, are plenty of journalists. It seems 3,500 from 61 countries have asked for accreditation beyond the regulars. Busy weeks ahead here in the Vatican. And that's all I have time for on today's broadcast. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks so much for listening. Laudetur Jesus Christus.